It's that time of year when every magazine and TV show looks back at the biggest stories and the trendiest trends, fallen CEOs. J-Lo, NPR environment correspondent John Nielsen, has been paying attention to less trendy trends and joins us now. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
John, in the past year, there were some changes on the international endangered species list. We normally think about spotted owls or animals. I was kind of startled to notice that there's a tree on the endangered species list now.
Yeah, it's a very commercially valuable tree. It's called the mahogany.
One of my favorite woods. Probably some in my home somewhere.
Cabinet makers and furniture makers love it. They like to make things out of it. It's rich and beautiful and malleable. It is poached. It is stolen out of forests that are protected in South and Central America, and it was getting to be a real problem by most accounts. And so an international body called the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species has decided to at least closely watch sales of this tree to force people to prove that they harvested them legally.
So should I feel bad about my bookshelves?
No. Shouldn't feel bad. According to the United States government, they say, okay, there's a system in place now. The mahogany that comes into this country is legally acquired, and, you know, have fun with it.
Well, now there you've put your finger on an interesting dispute that has been developing on a lot of different levels over the past year. The Bush administration has been having a lot of disagreements with the international community over to handle things like Iraq, but there are also continuing disagreements over the environment, right?
That is true. And it's funny, the biggest disagreement, which is the disagreement over climate change, really didn't get talked about that much this year, even though there was a giant environmental and developmental conference in South Africa. The United States was generally resistant to attempts to strengthen big treaties at that program. They did announce they were going to put a couple of $100 million into forest preservation programs in Africa and in South America. But the interesting thing to me was virtually nobody talked about climate change because President Bush has made it clear that he's not interested in that treaty.
Well, now, I want to stress, though, President Bush has made some statements to the effect that he is concerned about global warming.
Yes, he has. And they have a plan that they want to pursue that involves looking for a lot of technological fixes, essentially, and doing more research. Environmentalists say that's close to doing nothing.
John, I got to tell you, one of the reasons that the environment doesn't get so much attention, I think, is because it seems like the same battle over and over again. You have people who say they have an economic interest, they have a business, they're trying to make money, and people on the other side saying that this business or this enterprise is destroying the environment. Can you give me an example of anywhere this year in which people moved a little beyond that debate, where they tried to resolve those different questions?
I probably could, but I could give you way more examples of that debate flaring this year because the Bush administration has begun to do what they have wanted to do since they came into office, and that is revise a number of very important environmental regulations that they thought of as heavy-handed and unworkable. These are the regulations that are designed to limit pollution from the nation's oldest coal-fired power plants, and they're designed to help citizens' groups control logging, among other things. And as the Bush administration has rolled out what they say are their common sense revisions, environmentalists note that the revisions were drawn up with the help of the business community and not with their help, and that they're going to lead to terrible environmental destruction. And the Bush administration says that the environmentalists are all extremists, and you end up in a lot of shouting matches. It gets to be tiresome rhetorically, even though it is extremely important.
Well, it's not like it's been a total failure for environmentalists in the United States. You, John, went out and witnessed the return of condors to the wild in the United States this year.
Well, I went and witnessed the return of a particular condor, a bird known to some folks as Igor. When Igor was caught on Easter Sunday in 1987, there were no more wild condors left in the world. They were all in zoos. And they've put some back since then, but you know, when they put Igor back this year, it was a big reunion for all the people who have worked on this giant program over the years. Everybody came and stood on the hill and watched the bird in the box and cried and talked. At first, he didn't even want to come out. You could just see this head kind of poking out. But that was a big deal. That was a very emotional moment.
How's Igor doing?
He's doing well. And I have to say that condors were down to roughly into the two digits, below 20 at one point, and now there are more than 200 in the world. So at least to that extent, the program's a big success.
this bird's back in the wild, but does he have a little tracking device, some kind of low jack or GPS so that people
he
can...
He is so loaded up. He's got GPSs on him, or they in general have GPSs on him. They have their blood tested. They're watched night and day. They're getting a lot of attention.
So saying they're back in the wild is maybe an oversimplification of
that. Yeah, it's a long process, Steve. You can't just throw them back out there.
NPR environment correspondent John Nielsen. John, thanks very much.
Thank you.